Has God been a friend to you this morning? I'll say God has been a very good friend to me. Through the years, God is just, he's been my best friend. I can say that without, he's been there. He's been, what makes a good friend? He's been there. He's been there in the good times and the bad times. He didn't leave me in the lurch. He's done so much for me and in my life. I'm thankful that God is my friend. But there's another side of that equation. What kind of a friend have you been to God? And you know, as I have reflected upon that, I came to a conclusion, and it didn't take me long to get there. It's like, Lord, I have not always been the friend that I should have been. There have been times in my life that I wish I would have been a better friend to God. I'd like us to turn our attention for a little bit this morning to Abraham. Abraham, we'll begin reading in the 12th chapter of Genesis about Abraham. And Abraham was known as the father of what? The father of faith. So when we talk about Abraham, we talk about the father of faith. Someone that had a lot of faith in God. So in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1, and I notice my voice is starting to be affected again. I don't think it's still real strong, but trust the Lord will help us this morning. The Lord said unto Abram, chapter 12, verse 1 of Genesis, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. And make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Do you notice how there was something major that took place? And we read that the Lord did, or Abram did what he said. The Lord said, I want you to get out to and go to a country that you know not of. So Abram, who was later known as Abraham, he got up and he did exactly what the Lord said. Isn't that noteworthy? How are we doing with our obedience like that? You know, sometimes there's a place I know we wrestle in prayer with things, and I believe there are some things the Lord gives us a span of time. But I'll tell you, it's noteworthy and meaningful that when the Lord came and gave Abraham something to do, Abraham got up and did it. Because he believed in God. I believe that God knows what is best for my life, and I'm going to submit to that because I believe in who he is. And God blessed Abraham's life because of that. Over in the just Abraham, and we're going to not read all of it, but in the 15th chapter of Genesis, in the 5th verse, it said, God brought Abraham forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15, verse 5 to 6. Abraham, look up in the heavens. Look at all the stars. Do you see those? He said, I'm going to make a family for you that can't be numbered. I'm going to make a great family. And Abraham believed God. And it was counted to Abraham for righteousness. You know what the key to true righteousness is this morning? It's faith in God. True righteousness is based in faith this morning. So when God told Abraham to do something, and he told Abraham something, Abraham believed it. Now, it is true that Abraham had a few stumbles himself in life, didn't he? There were some times that Abraham didn't quite come through, and maybe his faith wavered. We know his faith wavered a few times. Two or three times that I think of offhand, Abraham's faith wavered. But there was a belief that he had in God that every time it brought him back to the place that, Lord, I believe in you. It's not based upon what he saw because he didn't know where God was going to take him. He didn't know what country the Lord was going to lead him to. The Lord just said, get up and I'm going to take you to a country that you know not of. And Abraham got up. Lord, help us this morning. None of us know what tomorrow holds, but if we will obey God today, we can receive of the blessings of Abraham. I learned a verse of a song in Nigeria, and they may sing in the U.S., I don't know, but I learned it in Nigeria many years ago, and it said, Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning, I am blessed in the evening, Abraham's blessings are mine. It didn't say Moses' blessings are mine. It said Abraham's blessings are mine, because Abraham had faith in God. And if we will place our faith in God this morning, even in things that we cannot see and things that we don't understand, we will receive the blessings of Abraham. Thank the Lord for that this morning. It was also in faith, was it not? When God came to Abraham and he said, get up and go and take your son Isaac and offer him to me, sacrifice him to me. Do you realize how long it took Abraham to obey the Lord? I love the verse where it talks about that. I've preached on just that verse before. It says, early in the morning, early in the morning. So God came and said, I want you to give back to me the most precious thing that I gave to you. I want you to give it back to me. And Abraham got up early in the morning to obey the Lord. There are some things we may say, but God was the one that gave it to me. And the Lord says, yes, but I want you to come put it back on the altar. God gave you your family, but he wants you to put them on the altar. God gave you a call. He wants you to put your call back on the altar. God gave you gifts and talents. He gave you life. He gave you breath. He wants us to give back to him what he gave to us. And so Abraham, early in the morning, got up in obedience to offer his son Isaac to the Lord. So that's the reason Abraham is known as the father of faith. So if you will turn with me then with that as a foundation to the third chapter of Galatians. In the third chapter of Galatians, we'll begin reading with verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was righteous because he believed. He believed that God is the creator, God is omniscient, he knows all things, so I'm going to trust what he tells me. Do you know that we can trust God this morning? And we look at his word. This is an expression. This Bible here is an expression of God's word, okay? It's an expression of his will for us. Abraham believed God, that this is God, this is the creator, and so even if I don't quite understand it, I'm going to do it because it's God's word. And if I don't understand the thing, I know who did it and who said it, and that's where my faith is. So even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham's blessings are mine. Do you know the scripture here in the New Testament said that if we will believe... He said, and if we will have faith, we are the same as the children of Abraham. Do you notice it did not say we were the children of Moses? Do you know it's noteworthy in this dispensation of grace, there are some that are taking the New Testament precepts and they are living as if it were the law of Moses. Abraham was before the law. Let's get hold of that this morning. Abraham was before the law, and because of his faith in God, it was imputed unto him as righteousness. And now the scripture says, if you will believe in God, if you will put your faith in God, we are as the children of Abraham, and those which be of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. There are many that are living under the New Testament dispensation as if it were a law. And the law brings bondage. There's a whole lot in Galatians that talks about that, and in Hebrews. The law brings bondage. Faith brings deliverance. Faith is freedom because faith is a decision and a choice. That one song says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you realize the Lord does not want us to live in bondage this morning? We are not the children of Moses this morning. We are the children of Abraham. And when people say, well, I'll try to be righteous and I'm going to be good and I'm going to follow A, B, C, and D. And if I can fast and I'll give and I'll dress modestly and I won't do this and I won't go there, then I'll be righteous before God. That is bondage this morning. But deliverance and freedom is based upon faith. The Lord did not call us from the law of Moses to the law of Jesus. It said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we find of this man Abraham, the patriarch Abraham, who had righteousness because of faith. And it transcended the law of Moses because he didn't have the law of Moses. It was based upon a personal relationship with God that I believe in the Creator. And I want to please God. And the Lord said, that is righteousness. So what is your righteousness this morning? Is it because of all the good things you do and the bad things you don't do? No, because the carnal man can do most of those things, but it is about righteousness. Are you children of Abraham or children of Moses this morning? Reflect in your own life. If you're living after Moses, I'm sorry for you this morning. My heart goes out to people, well, the church this and the church that, and in the church you can't do this. Those are children of Moses. You get the point? They're children of Moses. We are children, not of the bondswoman, but we're children of the free. Our relationship with God is not based on our righteousness that comes by the law, but it is based upon our faith in Christ, in what his blood did in our life. And I revel in that. And I would that everybody in the world would understand that we're not in bondage this morning, but truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? It'll set you free. If you're in bondage this morning, it might be time to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, there's this truth. And it might be something that's taught very clearly in the Scripture. But Lord, I'm kind of feeling in bondage to this. Let's go back to the Creator. And let's come back to that place that says, Lord, I want my faith to be lifted up. My faith increase that I believe in you. And as you believe in God, it starts making it so much easier to start following the ways of God. Because I believe in God. Even when I don't understand, I believe in God. That is righteousness this morning. I would that Abraham's blessings be yours this morning. In a greater way, Abraham's blessings are mine. We are children of Abraham, thank the Lord. And it is because a relationship that existed between Abraham and God, and it was without the law. So that's why we're children of Abraham. So then in 2 Chronicles, in the 20th chapter, in the 7th verse, it says, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel? Aren't God, the children of Israel, they were looking to God. It's like, aren't you God? And you drove out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. God, I'm kind of struggling right now, but Lord, aren't you the God that drove out the inhabitants of the land? And aren't you that God that gave this land to the seed of Abraham, who was thy friend forever? This is the first place this is recorded in the Scripture. It's not the last, but it's the first that let us know that Abraham was a friend of God. How much higher of a compliment or an expression is there for God himself to say, this is my friend. This is my friend. A friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. And in this passage in Chronicles, it said, Abraham, thy friend forever. Have you ever had a today friend? Anybody ever had a today friend? Maybe it was a Monday friend. I remember hearing tell of a young man that had a girlfriend at work, and he had a girlfriend at Monarch at church, and he had a girlfriend at school, I believe it was. So everywhere he went, he had a girlfriend. They were different. It changed day by day and month by month. That's not the kind of friend I'm interested in. But Abraham was a friend of God forever. This is your forever friend. Do you know what a forever friend is? Forever friend is one you can count on. He was there in good times and in difficult times, in sunshine and in sorrow. He was there. Hey, God, I'm coming to you because I want to remind you of my father, Abraham. He was your friend. Do you know, have you had an acquaintance? Have you ever met someone? Say, yeah, this is my acquaintance. This is an acquaintance of mine. Have you ever introduced someone as an acquaintance of yours? You know, we're getting down to where we live, aren't we? Yeah, this is an acquaintance of mine. You know, it would be a little, I've gone into the bird store before, and Brother Sean's like, oh, this is pastor appreciation, made a comment about pastor. You know what it would have made me feel like if Brother Sean would have been standing there with a customer and said, yeah, this is an acquaintance of mine. This is Michael Smith. He's an acquaintance of mine. You know, it probably would have felt a little bad because an acquaintance is, at least there's a head knowledge of, I know this person. But it's different when you say, I'd like to introduce you to my friend. I like you in there. This isn't just an acquaintance now. I'm not ashamed to let you know that I have a relationship with this person. Do you see the difference between an acquaintance and a friend? Abraham wasn't just an acquaintance of God. We can have head knowledge this morning of truth. We can have head knowledge of the doctrines, and we can bring some of those into our life, but I don't want it to be that God looks down on me and says, well, Michael's it, that's an acquaintance. I have been challenged. I want the Lord to be able to look on my life and say, Michael's an everlasting friend. Michael's a friend. Do you want to be a friend this morning? God's been such a friend to all of us. He's done so much for us. I want to be a good friend back. I want to be a friend. So how can I do that? How can we be a friend of God this morning? Well, Abraham was a friend of God forever. Isaiah 41, verse 8. This is accounted again where it addresses this subject. But thou, O Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen. Now, God was speaking to Israel. He said, but thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. That word friend means someone that I have affection for. It's someone I love. What a compliment. Do you know that good friends, I don't know if you agree or disagree with me, but good friends are hard to find. They're few and far between, aren't they? I think that's the way the Lord's found it. I read the Bible, and it seemed like there was just Enoch walked with God, and there were those that walked with Jesus when he was on earth, but there were also a whole lot of them that walked away from him. Good friends are hard to find. And the Lord's looking for some friends this morning. The Lord's looking for some people that he can look on and say, oh, yeah, Abraham's my friend. Let me talk to you, but remember Abraham, that was my friend. Wouldn't that be wonderful for the Lord to come along and say, well, you know, now, Brother Randy, that's my friend. He's my friend. You know those people that go to church over there? Those are my friends. That church, I hear little children sometimes. I love it. Hear children, and maybe there's someone that's older, and they say, they're my friend. Why would they say that? Because someone that was older showed them some attention. They took some time with them, and those little children go away. They're so proud of themselves. That's my friend. And then as they children start to grow older, those friendships sometimes get a little lax. And it means something to be a friend of God this morning. He's shown us a whole lot of attention. But what kind of friendship are we showing back to him? Can the Lord save your life this morning? And this isn't throwing stones. I was like, Lord, I want to be a better friend. I want you to say this about me, Lord. I want to be like Abraham. I want to be a friend of God. Well, how's your friendship with the Lord been? You know, there are some friends, so-called, that they just come and they give you a call when they need something. You know someone that never talks to you, but it's only when they want something that they show up? Mike and I have laughed through the years about it. I love you. We laugh about it because when we lived in Guthrie years ago, when Renee and I first got married, I'd have computer problems, so I'd call Mike. So about the only time we talked on the phone was when I had a computer problem. At least we can laugh about it. But do you know that those are things that's like, I wonder sometimes if we do that with God. It's the only time it's like, oh, I pick up the phone because I've got a problem. But do you know a true friend is more than someone that picks up the phone when they just need something? You forgive me for not being a very good friend. So what do we can do about it? But do you realize that that's the way it is with God? Are we good friends with Him? Are we incorporating Him and allowing Him to be part of our life on a daily basis? You know the scripture that says to pray without ceasing? That was more than just some romantic notion or theoretical notion of praying all the time. I am so thankful I have found in the Lord a relationship of praying without ceasing. And that means that God is such a part of your life that whatever you're doing, it's just like you're just in this communion with God. It's like I'm not talking to myself, but I'm talking with God, and He's a part of what I'm doing, whether it's work or whether it's school or whether you're going out and doing something in nature, whether you're with family. God is such an integral part of your life. There's communication going on. That's what the Lord wants of us in our life. He wants that friendship that it's, well, things are going good, so I don't need you now, and I'll go do the things I want to do, which normally are going to take us away from the things of God. Lord, I believe in you, and I want to be your friend. I want to be a good friend. So then, there are some friends, the scripture says in Proverbs 17:17, that a friend loveth it, what? At all times. A friend loveth at all times. So would that not be a little bit of a litmus test for our friendship with God this morning? Loving at all times. When you're tempted, what kind of friend are you to God when you're tempted? Anybody here been tempted this last week? It's normal. It's natural. But you know, it's a good thing to remember. Lord, I want to be a friend. I'm being tempted right now. So what would a good friend do? Lord, I'll put my faith in you. I'll put my faith in you. Not just for convenience. One-sided friendships are difficult. You ever had a one-sided friendship? Reached out to someone, opened yourself up, became vulnerable, and it was not received. And it was one-sided. The Lord has shown us what it means to be a friend. But you realize that there's not much of a relationship unless we return that. Sometimes people that start feeling isolated, they feel isolated, not because of what everybody else has done, but because of their response to it. Recently I withdrew from something, from a group, and I sent out an email, and you know, not one person responded back to me, and I thought they really didn't care if I was a part of that or not. And it almost made me feel bad, but I wasn't vested in them, so why should I expect them to be vested in me? And yet I could get my feelings hurt. Well, none of them called. I told them I wasn't going to be part of their group, and no one even followed after me. I was the one that left. You see how the devil works, though? Sometimes if we start feeling like we're on the outside, maybe it's because I'm not returning. The Lord has given us so much, we need to return to God with our friendship and with our love. And so we will find a key to this, what we're speaking of this morning, in the book of James. And now, if Abraham was the father of faith, but James addresses this, and it is noteworthy, again, just for those of you that like history, Martin Luther, who got a glimpse and understanding that the just shall live by faith, he thought that James was a heretic, okay? He thought that this book of James, this was heretical, because James talked about what? He talked about works. But faith without works is what? It's dead. Just like, and what that means is Jesus said, this people draw nigh to be me with their mouth, but their what? Their heart is far from me. I can say I have faith, but if my faith does not move me to do something, then my faith is dead. And James brought out here, even the devils believe. Do you believe the gospel today? See, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Guess what? The devil does too. So why are we going to find righteousness that I will be like Abraham and have faith, that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, that's a good start, but the devils believe and tremble also because they believe. So James brought out on this point, and we'll just read a few verses. James chapter 2, verse 17. It says, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Do you remember Abraham's faith? God said, get up out of this country. What did Abraham do? He got up and went. When God told Abraham, get up and offer your son Isaac, what did Abraham do? He got up early the next morning. So it was faith with legs on it. It was faith with works. It was faith that, Lord, I don't understand, but I believe you so much that I'm going to do what you told me. I'm not going to keep it just in my heart and in my head. I'm going to actually follow through and do what you told me to do because I believe in you. And so then we read in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? See how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called, what? The friend of God. Why? Because he had faith. And because his faith prompted him and moved him to do something. It was a faith. It was a declaration that was backed by works. Folks, this morning, may I say friends this morning, the result of true faith is obedience. The result of true faith is obedience. And this is the reason why Jesus said in John 15, because when the Lord was beginning to talk to me and I was meditating, I was like, Lord, how can we be a friend though? Because it's like really neat to think about being a friend of God. I mean, I want to be a friend of God. But Lord, how can I be a friend? Well, I've got to go back to my example of Abraham. He had works that followed his faith. And Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man do what? Lay down his life for who? For his friends. So Jesus was the ultimate example that he gave his life and sacrificed himself for us. But you remember what the next verse there says? You are my friends. Now, here's a key. You are my friends if. Now, the if is a conditional word. He wasn't just saying, oh, I just want friends. Come, everybody's my friends. He didn't say that. He said, you are my friends if what? If you do whatsoever I command you. And on the surface of that, that could end up grating just a little bit. What would you think if I went to Justin? Brother Justin, you'll be my friend if you do whatever I tell you to do. It's like, wait, hold on a minute. What kind of friendship is this? So we have to understand this in the context of what Jesus was talking about. He said, I gave my life for you, and I want you to give your life for each other. There's no greater love than to give your very best to sacrifice for someone else. And if you really believe that what I'm telling you is right, I've opened myself up to you. I came from the Father. I shared with you why I came. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to rise from the dead for you. And what if you want to be a friend of God? Then you accept that he is God and he's up here. And you submit yourself in obedience to the Father. and you will be a friend of God. So to be a friend of God takes obedience and submission to His will. When it crosses my way and I don't feel like it, I want to be a friend of God. I'm challenged this morning. I want to be a friend of God. And that's why Jesus went on to say, I call you not servants, but friends. So then how can we respond and show our friendship back to the Lord? By believing the truth of what Jesus told us. By having faith in God. And our friendship is conditioned upon the ultimate submission to the will of the Father. I don't want to just be a friend in name. I had a friend in elementary school that had a swimming pool. And I remember him telling me, people only want to come over to my house because they want to swim. It wasn't because they wanted to be with him. Do I want God just because of what we can get out of it? I have found great security, and I would that you children or young people get hold of this morning. I have found great security in having the Lord as my friend. I found so much security when I was insecure, when I was struggling, when I had problems, but to know that God is right there for me. And He's been my friend. He didn't just wasn't a friend of convenience. And so I owe the Lord a great debt today. Do you? I can't ever repay the Lord. So how can I be a friend to Him in honoring who He is? That, Lord, You are my Creator. And I know when You tell me something that it's for my good. And I submit to that not because of a law. Not because we're children of Moses. But because we're children of Abraham, because we're free, and I voluntarily say, Lord, I will obey You and submit to You, and the Lord will look on us and say, this is my everlasting friend. I would that we be friends of God this morning. There's security in it. And in the scripture, as we close, there's another scripture in James as he talked about this too. He said that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God, which lets me know I can't be a friend to the world, the attitudes of the world, the spirit of the world, the immodesty of the world, the pride of the world, the lust of the world. I can't be tied to that and still be a friend to God. So I have to forsake that unhealthy friendship of the world and choose the Lord and say, Lord, I believe in You. And in Your way, God has been a good friend, and I want to live in such a way that Abraham is not God's only friend. If another book were written, I would that the Lord would look on us and say, this was my everlasting friend. I want you to be a friend to God, and I want to be a friend to God. I would that you be encouraged this morning as we go face our week. Could you take this little message with you? Be a friend of God. You'll find great security and comfort and blessings because Abraham's blessings are mine as we also are a friend of God through faith and in obedience. Amen.